This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful day and a good day to be together in this time of worship. It's my joy to welcome those of you who are with us, if you're joining us over live stream, and those of you who are in the sanctuary. We are glad to be together and know that the Spirit of Christ unites us in this time of worship. I would like to invite you to sign in to worship this morning. If you're worshiping online, there should be a link there on the screen you can click on. And here in the sanctuary, we have registration pads at the end of each row. If you would sign those and pass them down and back again, just like that. If you're visiting with us and perhaps looking for a place to call your church home, we'd love to begin a conversation with you. If you would share an email address or a mailing address or phone number, that will give us an opportunity to reach out and begin that relationship with you. A few announcements as we gather this morning. At 3 o'clock this afternoon, we will have our Blessing of the Animals service in honor of St. Francis of Assisi. It will be over on the West Lawn, and we invite you to bring your dogs, cats, lizards, snakes, other animals that bring you joy in your life, and we'll have some time to thank God for them. That's 3 o'clock this afternoon. Next Sunday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, an organization that we partner with called NOAA, which is Nashvillians Organized for Action and Hope, is having an open public meeting at Jefferson Street Missionary Baptist Church. Our mayor will be there along with other public officials to talk with faith communities about our dreams for Nashville becoming a beloved community even more so. So we want to invite you to be part of that and talk about our dreams for more affordable housing and access to mental health care and so forth. Finally, there are just a couple of people we want to celebrate this morning. We have in our chancel choir someone who has served as a section leader for 30 years. Margie Bredeman is going to be retiring from our choir, and she has been a soloist and a section leader for decades in our congregation and has lifted our hearts and souls up to God in so many different ways. And so I just want to take a moment to say thank you to Margie for her ministry. Will you join me in thanking Margie? God bless you. We also have someone else who will be leaving our midst. Most of you, I hope, got the email on Thursday. If you're visiting with us, perhaps, and this is brand new news, our beloved Brandon Baxter has been called up by our bishop to move into the role of a senior pastor at East End United Methodist Church. And he will say more about that in his sermon and the calling that he feels deeply in this moment. We know that this is of God. It really feels like where God is calling him to be. And so we celebrate that. And we trust and believe that God will be with us at West End and continue to help us move forward. But we are going to miss you a lot. And we can bring all of that grief and joy and expectation and hope with us in this time of worship. We'll have a moment at the end of the service to pray for Brandon and bless him on his way. And he'll be in the narthex after this service. Or?
Tell me to be.
Okay. He'll be.
You're the boss.
Okay. How about Reed Hall? That's more space there. So he'll be in Reed Hall after the service if you want to take a moment to hug his neck and say thanks to him. We're grateful that he is bringing us the word this morning. So we now open ourselves to the word that he will bring, to the prayers, the liturgies, the music, all that is for us in this hour as we lift our hearts to God in worship.
Oh. The presence of God dwells in this place. The Spirit of God goes ahead of us. The goodness of God shapes our future. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Friends, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, we will now exchange signs of reconciliation and love. Here in the sanctuary, you can do that however you're most comfortable. And if you're joining us online, we invite you to do so in the chat or with those around you. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you. Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the prophet, from Numbers chapter 19, verses 15 through 23. Del libro de Números, escuchen lo que dice el profeta. On the day the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the covenant, and from evening until morning, it was over the tabernacle, having the appearance of fire. It was always so. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud lifted from over the tent, then the Israelites would set out, and in the place where the cloud settled down, there the Israelites would camp. At the command of the Lord, the Israelites would set out, and at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud rested over the tabernacle, they would remain in camp. Even when the cloud continued over the tabernacle many days, the Israelites would keep the charge of the Lord and would not set out. Sometimes the cloud would remain a few days over the tabernacle, and according to the command of the Lord, they would remain in camp. Then, according to the command of the Lord, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud would remain from evening until morning, and when the cloud lifted in the morning, they would set out. Or, if it continued for a day and a night, when the cloud lifted, they would set out. Whether it was 2 days or a month or longer time that the cloud continued over the tabernacle, resting upon it, the Israelites would remain in camp and would not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. At the command of the Lord, they would camp, and at the command of the Lord, they would set out. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by Moses. La palabra de Dios para el pueblo de Dios. The word of God for the people of God. Gracias damos a Dios.
All right, I'm going to invite any children that are in the sanctuary to come forward for children's time. And if you're in the sanctuary and you're coming forward, you're going to have to come around the rail today this way because it's Communion Sunday. So Penny, come on around this way. Can you go this way? There you go. And all around there you go. Pastor Carol will help you. And if you're worshiping with us online today, you might want to come a little closer to the screen. And then everybody can come right here. There we go. How is everybody this morning? Good? Yeah. So, did you hear in that story about the Israelites? They were trying to follow where God was leading them after they left Egypt, and they were trying to find their way to the Promised Land, and they were trying to follow God's directions. But how did they see God? Did you hear in that part of the story? Did you hear what God looked like? Did you hear what it was? God looked like a cloud. They saw God in a cloud. And they followed this cloud whenever it would set, it would lift up and it would go somewhere else, and they would follow it wherever it was going. Now, have you ever laid down and looked up at the sky and looked at the clouds? Who's done that? Yeah? Have you ever seen something in the clouds? Have you ever seen a cloud that looked like something else? Raise your hand. What have you seen a cloud look like before? A donkey. You've seen a donkey. Okay. So a donkey. What have you seen? A horse. Wow, we've got all sorts of equine things going on here. Donkey, horse, what else? Anybody else seen a cloud that looked like something else? Yeah, Penny?
Doggy.
What is it?
Doggy.
Oh, a doggy. Yes, a doggy. Oh, and a unicorn. Wow. And a dinosaur. How did I know DeWitt would see a dinosaur? Yeah. But you know, the amazing thing is the Israelites, they looked up and they saw this cloud and they saw that God was somewhere inside of that cloud and they followed it wherever it went. So I want us to remember that whenever we go outside and we look up at the sky and we see those clouds that look like all sorts of things, maybe, just maybe, we also remember that God is at work everywhere in the world. Do you think you can go out today and look up at the clouds and think about God? You think you can do that? That's what I'm going to do, especially because it's such a beautiful day today. All right. Can we pray to God? Dear Lord, we give you thanks for the many ways that you appear to us, even maybe when you look like a cloud. Lord, I pray for these children that are gathered here, that they would know your love and care, and that whenever they look up at the sky and see a cloud, that they might remember that you are there with them and present. We ask that your Spirit be with them and be with us this day and go with us from this place. It's in your holy name that we pray. Amen. All right, now if you are 3, 4, or 5, you can head with Pastor Aaron to Children's Church, okay? If you're older than that or younger than that, you can go back to be with your parents, okay? So I have always been drawn to this image of God in the cloud in the midst of the Israelites. Now, if you remember anything about the story of the Exodus, of the Israelites' journey out of Egypt and through the wilderness and towards the Promised Land, then you know that it started when Moses led them across the Red Sea, and then they encamped for a year around the bottom of Mount Horeb. And as they were encamped there, they waited. They waited for instructions and messages from God to tell them what they were to do next, now that they were on their own. And those messages from God came mediated through Moses. So Moses was kind of like God's mouthpiece, which I've always thought was funny because he said he couldn't speak and they said, Aaron will do all the talking for you. And then Moses ends up doing all the talking. I don't get that. But Moses becomes this conduit between God and the Israelites. And so we all remember the most famous instructions that Moses gets, right? The tablets come down the mountain with him, these Ten Commandment tablets that have some of the basic rules or instructions that will help them live together as a people, but that also serve as a sign of their connectedness to one another and to God. But what we sometimes forget is also, if we read the first few books of the Old Testament, we also see all these other instructions that are given to Moses to give to the people. They include things like how to build the Ark of the Covenant, where the box that these tablets will sit in. That's not just something you see in an Indiana Jones movie. That was really something that they were told to build. And then what we really forget about is they were also told to construct this elaborate tabernacle, which was basically for them their sanctuary. And it was really just a fancy traveling tent. And they were supposed to make it with all certain materials in certain dimensions and cloth and all of this stuff. But this tabernacle could be set up, but could also be taken down and moved with them. And it would be the place that was their holiest of holies. It would house the Ark of the Covenant. It would be a place where they did many of their rituals together. And it was a place where they centered on God. And we hear in the book of Numbers that the first time they set up the tent or the tabernacle, this cloud descends upon it. And they know that God is present because they see this cloud there. And not only does a cloud dwell there, but it's a cloud that they see during the day as a cloud, and by night it looks almost like fire. Now, some translations suggest that it might be like lightning. So maybe it's like a storm cloud at night. I don't know. But whatever it is, they can see it both day and night. And it sometimes moves in the day, and it sometimes moves at night. But whenever it's still and over the tabernacle, they stay right there, centered around God. But then, when the cloud lifts and it starts to move, they follow the cloud and they go with it. And then whenever the cloud comes to a resting place, they stop there and they set up camp and they put up the tabernacle, and then the cloud settles back over the tabernacle, and they know they're supposed to stay there until they move again. And they can be there for a day, a month, a year, and they do this for 40 years, according to the story. That's a long time, 40 years. And what I love about the image of the tabernacle is they are instructed to set up camp all around it. So the different tribes of Israel have different places around the tabernacle. So some are to the east and some are to the west, some are to the north and some are to the south. But they all center on God. And I love that image of being centered on God, both individually and as a community. And that's how they journeyed through the wilderness, through this difficult time. The image that I'm a little more apt to struggle with, the one that's a little more difficult for me, is that of God in the cloud. Because when we think of a cloud, a lot of times we think of clouds as being signs of something bad that's about to happen, right? When the real clouds roll in, not like the pretty fluffy clouds where we can see little animals in it, but when the real storm clouds roll in, we know it can mean danger. We've seen that in the hurricanes this last few weeks. Clouds can be powerfully destructive. They can be signs of bad things that are going to happen. Also, in our own lives, sometimes we speak of metaphorical clouds. We speak of clouds symbolically, as if sometimes in our life when we're struggling or something isn't going right, that we say a cloud has settled in and it won't go, right? And so this is kind of a difficult image of God, I think, this settled cloud. Now, it's my last Sunday here, so I can get a little personal, and then I won't see you again. It was about 10 or 11 months ago that a dark cloud settled over my life. I don't totally know why. There were a lot of different things going on. I might have identified some of them, but COVID didn't help at all, but I experienced depression and anxiety in a way that I never had in my life. In such a way that it scared me, because I felt separated from everyone. I even almost felt scared of people, which was really strange, because I've always liked to be around people. But what was scariest of all was that it was the first time in my life where I felt absolutely disconnected from the presence of God. It was the first time in my life that I had trouble believing that God might still be present with me. But you know, an amazing thing happened. When I couldn't believe it and when I couldn't see it, I was surrounded by people, loved ones and friends, maybe even some parishioners here, that helped show me and tell me that, you know what, God still loves you and God is still there and life will move on as you open yourself back up and you allow God to work on you and you allow yourself to work too alongside God. And so it reminded me of one of the most classic texts in Christian mysticism. It's called The Cloud of Unknowing. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's a 14th century book written in England by this spiritual director, we might call him, who wrote about how one can attempt to get closer to God, or to feel closer to God, I should say, because God's always drawing near to us. And this person who's trying to instruct others on how to contemplate the presence of God says that to get there, you inevitably will run into a cloud of unknowing. That's the image that he uses. And he says, as you try to reach out to God, and the harder you try, and the more you throw that love out there and that energy out there, at first you're going to hit a cloud, and you're going to feel lost. It's going to feel uncertain, and it's going to feel like disarray. But you know, he says that if you keep opening your heart up and keep making attempts to know that God is there, that slowly your love starts to poke holes in the cloud. And eventually, you begin to see God again in new ways. And this writer says you cannot get there by thinking about God. It's the great temptation when you can't sense God to say, I'm going to figure God out. I'm going to do this. And I had to stop thinking so much in this season of my life. And I had to open up and feel others around me, feel the world, feel God's presence again. And you know, as I did that, it's amazing. The cloud is lifting. And in fact, I feel closer to God and more connected to my call than I have in years. And that's a good thing too, because you know what? The cloud is lifting for me and it's moving. God is leading me somewhere new. The Israelites, when the cloud lifted, it led them to the promised land across the Jordan River. Well, my cloud is leading me across the Cumberland River to East Nashville. I don't know if you all think East Nashville is the promised land, but that's where I'm headed. But I'm headed to a charge and a location that has been in its own season of wandering through a cloud of unknowing. East End United Methodist was, if you don't know, devastated by the tornadoes that came through town 2.5 years ago. It was a complete loss. And then, on top of that, the next week after the tornadoes, COVID hit and everything shut down. And then their beloved pastor moved and they got a new pastor. And so they've been in all this transition and uncertainty. And it's been, I'm sure, as if they've been in a difficult place, a cloud as well. And yet, as I have met with their leaders already and gotten to know some of their laity and the staff that are working there, I can tell that the cloud is lifting there too. God is beginning to move and do new things there. They're about to start construction on their new building. And they're excited about what the future holds for them as they do ministry in East Nashville. And I'm so glad that I get to step into that role and do that work with them. But I'm also sad to be leaving this place, because I think we've been through the cloud as well. COVID's not been kind to anybody. It's made us all feel disconnected. It's changed the makeup of the way our church feels. Not to mention, our United Methodist Church is still struggling to figure out how to stay together and do ministry together as one. And yet, I feel like here at West End, the cloud is lifting too. And I feel like God's cloud is leading this church into some powerful new places. I think this church is called to be a powerful witness of God's love and goodness and righteousness and justice. I had to do a lot of talking between the two services, you know. And justice in this world, but also in our community, in our United Methodist Church, in this conference, and in the global United Methodist Church. So even though I'm going to be over in the promised land in East Nashville, I'm going to look back over the Cumberland River to this promised land, and I'm going to be excited to see what you're doing, because this church is going to be the beacon that lights the way through the clouds, I think, for United Methodism in our area. It's been my pleasure to serve here. So I just want to say thank you for walking with me in my journey. Thank you for helping make me a better pastor and leader. Thank you for validating my gifts and also bearing with all of my faults, because I know I have many of them, and I'm sure at times I've been disappointing. But I love the way that you have held me in care and in graciousness, and the ways that you've walked through this difficult time together. And who knows, maybe our clouds will meet in common cause here in Nashville in the future. So I simply invite you to follow God's cloud wherever it is leading you and wherever it is leading this place. And I give thanks for you, and I look forward to see where God leads you in the future. Thanks be to God, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.
On this World Communion Sunday, we are particularly aware of our connection with Christians all over the world. And on this Sunday, when we celebrate Brandon's last Sunday in our midst, we are aware of our connection in the United Methodist Church and how we're all called to be the church together. And so I invite you to affirm that calling and affirm that faith in our God who goes before us. Would you stand as you're able and join with me in the affirmation of faith found on page 883 in your hymnals? We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. In a spirit of prayer, we come together now to offer our prayers to God on behalf of one another and our world. If you have joys or concerns that you would like to share, if you're here in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you. You can fill those out and place them in the offering plate as they go by. If you're joining us online, you can go to our website, and under Contact Us, there's an opportunity to share your prayer concerns. Your pastors gather every Monday afternoon and pray for each one by name. This morning, we are praying for Matthew Downton and his family, who are mourning the death of Matthew's father, John William Downton. He passed away on September 26th. Visitation is at Ellis Funeral Home tomorrow, October 3rd at 10 a.m., with a service to follow at noon. Burial will be at 2 p.m. at Middle Tennessee State Veterans Cemetery. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Loving God, whose cloud of presence still guides us today, you are with us in all things, closer to us than our next breath, ready to lead us, to provide for us, to empower us, and to call us forward. Help us breathe in your presence and trust that it is enough for our daily living. As we gather around the table on this World Communion Sunday, we pray for your world. We hold in our hearts today all who suffer. Most especially, we lift up those whose lives have been upended by the recent storms in Cuba, Puerto Rico, Florida, South Carolina, and beyond. We pray for all who are sick, in body, mind, or spirit. We pray for those who grieve. We pray for those who do not have enough. And in the silence, O God, we lift up our own prayers of those we hold in our hearts and on our minds. Hear our prayers, God of presence, and empower us to do what we can to help, to serve, to love, to build, to repair, and to reconcile. In this time of change, for the Baxter family and for our congregation, and for the congregation at East End, O God, we give you thanks for the time we've had together on this stage of our journey. Empower us to move forward with hope and joy, to be your people, shining the loving light of Christ wherever we go. Amen. And now we gather our gifts together and offer them to God for the sake of Christ's ministry in our community and beyond. We invite those of you who are worshiping online to give through the link that is available to you there. Those of us in the sanctuary will have the plates passed among us by our ushers. Let us now give with joy to the God who loves us unconditionally and has been so generous to us.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. You have made from one nation, from one of every nation and people to live on all the face of the earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and holy is your Son, Jesus Christ. He came in this world as a poor and vulnerable child. He and his parents were refugees, fleeing the violence and oppression of Herod and seeking safety in a new land. He spent his ministry healing the sick, feeding the hungry, and breaking bread with the outcast. He commissioned us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. And today his family and all the world is joining at his holy table. One night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, he gave thanks to you, and said to his disciples, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with your church throughout the world and strengthen it in every nation and among every people to witness faithfully in your name. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. This World Communion Sunday, we invite you to say this prayer of our Lord in your native language. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we lift up this bread and this cup, we remember our siblings in Christ across the world who gather virtually and in person, breaking bread of every shape, color, texture, and taste. We remember those of the faith who cannot receive these gifts openly. We remember and we receive on their behalf through the power and unity of the Holy Spirit. This is the body of Christ, the bread of life, broken for you, broken for me, and broken for the world. And this is the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation, poured out for you and for me and for the world. Our table is now set, and in our United Methodist tradition, we have an open communion table. That means everyone is invited to share in the foretaste of Christ's heavenly banquet. And that means no matter who you are, if you feel the call to experience God's grace in your life today, you are welcome to come and take communion here. There is a way that we take communion at West End. We start with the choir first, and the choir will come down and be served at the rails. And then once they go back, anyone in the transepts and the balcony is welcome to come forward. And then those in the nave will come forward, and you'll come by the center aisle and return by the outer aisles. All of our bread is gluten-free, so no matter who you are or what station you're going to, you may enjoy this bread, and I will bring bread, will bring prepackaged elements to anyone that needs to be served in their seats, and those are gluten-free as well. It's our tradition at West End to always have a communion offering, and October's communion offering will support an outreach worker through Open Table Nashville. With two other congregations, we support the salary of an outreach worker on the west side of Nashville, whose job it is to walk alongside those experiencing homelessness. Sometimes that means getting them housing, but other times it means getting them the basic necessities they need to survive in the extreme cold or heat, and we know it's probably about to get a lot colder here soon. In all cases, the outreach worker builds relationships with our neighbors and is an incredible referral resource for us at West End. Our goal is $10,000 for the year, so let's see if we can make that happen. This table has been prepared and is open. Come and feast at the Lord's table.
Thank you.
And now join me in our prayer after receiving. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts.
Now to pray for Brandon and his family and to bless him on his journey. And so I've asked him to kneel before us here. And I'm going to invite anyone who has worked with Brandon or feels led to come forward and just lay a hand on his shoulder as we pray together. I want to give you a minute to do that. His family was with us at 8:45, so we got to pray with Carol and Emerson and Miriam as well. Sometimes words are hard to find in a moment like this, so I'm going to rely on a prayer that our Bishop Bill McAlilly put in his letter when he announced Brandon's move, and allow his words to help us pray together this morning. Come on up. One more, come and take your time. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, our living Savior, we give you thanks for our church. It is a gift of grace to us. As Brandon Baxter departs from West End's pastoral team, we pray for him. May your grace abound in his life, giving peace and joy and confidence in this new beginning. Surround his family, Carol, Emerson, Miriam, with your abiding presence for the journey that lies ahead. Open our hearts and minds to receive the gifts you have for us in these days as we give thanks for what has been and anticipate what will be. Our life is in you, O God, so by your Holy Spirit, make us one with you and each other as we pray this day. Amen.
Amen.
Sorry, my sniff was on the microphone.
Can we take a moment just to
offer thanks to God for Brandon and his ministry among us?
Thank you.
Wow, what a place to worship, huh? This is a beautiful tabernacle, and it's been my privilege to be in this space for 5 years. Don't ever take it for granted, this beautiful place that draws us together in God's love. And I will continue to watch you from across the river. And now I invite you to go in peace, and I invite you to go as a church wherever it is that God's cloud and God's presence is leading you, because you have mighty work to do as God's people. Go in grace and go in peace. Amen.